Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts. This is The Woods,
Grr.
The show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios.
Woof, grr.
It's Thursday night, it's 9 p.m, it's time for The Woods. I'm Work Experience Cub Robbie. Joining us in The Woods tonight is Big Bear Mark. How are you going, Mark?
Good. I just want to wonder, when do you become not Work Experience anymore?
Well, Just James is also joining us.
Hi.
How are you, James? He did say the other day, he did accidentally call me Experience Cub Robbie. So I'm thinking maybe the transition goes to Experience Cub. Also with us in The Woods tonight is Bear Curious Dean. How are you, Dean?
I'm going very well, thank you, Robbie. Still curious, very curious. You know what I'm curious about?
What are you curious about?
Loosening my belt.
Oh.
And talking about what's under the belt.
Well, I think we all know what's under the belt.
But let's talk about it. Let's have a talk about what's under the belt.
Exactly. Today we're going to be looking at belly or bust, aren't we, Robbie?
We are. Is the belly sexy? Is the belly good for you?
And for some of us, it's above the belt.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, for some of us, wear our belt under our bellies.
Exactly.
About the rest of you.
And look, the reason we're talking about this today is a couple of reasons. The first reason is that 2 weeks ago, or exactly 2 weeks ago on the 1st of April, the American Eagle, which is an underwear company, released a spoof ad, do you call it? A send-up.
Or a hoax. Was it a hoax?
It was a hoax, yeah. An April Fool's joke. And it had in it some bigger guys in their underwear. And for some reason, they thought that it was funny to make fun of bigger guys wearing their underwear. I still don't get it. The guys in it are actually quite sexy. They're fine, according to me. But they thought it was good to basically make a joke out of these guys.
Make a fool of them.
And they didn't even know. Which is part of the bit that I am really peeved off about with this company, is like they didn't know that they were going to be made fun of. Mm. They thought it was a body positive thing.
But actually, my understanding is that when the ad was actually played, that they didn't make it clear that it was a hoax. That they actually played it straight, and people were being quite positive about it. Isn't it nice to see real men in underwear commercials? And it was only later that the company came out and said, "Oh, got you there. We were only tricking."
So did it backfire on them? Did their joke kind of reverse on them? And they,
well, any publicity is good publicity these days, isn't it? But yeah, I think it's given them a bit of a bad reputation.
Yeah,
well, we do live in a world. I mean, you guys must have heard. We live in a world of, you know, the body image is everything, because it's France, I think, now that's made it illegal for models to be under a certain weight or a certain BMI. They've flatly refused to have any models. It's illegal for the advertising companies to have, you know, these super thin,
which was the style. I mean, that, you know,
absolutely, it was imperative. And the skinnier they were, the more work they got.
Yeah, you look at the Kate Mosses of the world who were paper, like skeleton thin.
And France has gone to the point of making it illegal for them to employ people now.
Yeah.
So I mean, it speaks to, I guess, one of the things and some of the stuff we're talking about tonight, really, is about body image and what it means for us and how important is it.
Absolutely. And I guess if you've got something to say about this topic, you could SMS in on 0427-JOY949 or maybe send us an email on air@joy.org.au, because I suspect in the bear community lots of people with different body shapes and sizes and different perspectives on is a belly sexy or not.
Yeah,
and I mean, in the negative term, it's been called fat shaming. as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, have you experienced that? Have you experienced, you know, in the bear community even, have you been experienced that you're not big enough or you are too big, or what sort of experiences have you had? We'd love to know. So, as you said, SMS us or email us your experience.
And we also talked about getting people to SMS if they've got positive experiences as well.
Definitely.
Like, so that if something's happened to you and it's been a really good experience, a friendly and engaging and welcoming experience, let us know about those as well.
Yeah. Look, one of the other things that happened in the last 2 weeks also was the Lad Bible, which is a Facebooky, it's a website which you get in your Facebook feed a lot. They sent a picture of Wentworth Miller, who is the actor from the out gay actor now from
Prison Break.
Prison Break, that's
he's
right.
Now with the
thank
Flash.
You.
Yes.
And basically, it was two pictures, one when he was in Prison Break, and one a couple of months after he left the show. Yeah. And in the period, he'd actually gained quite a lot of weight. And on one side, it said it was him being thin, and one side was him having some weight.
Yeah.
And they put in something like, after you escape from prison, look who's found McDonald's Monopoly or something like that.
Dear.
It was like, again,
so it was
fat
really
shaming.
Nasty. Really and, nasty stuff.
Yeah, and there was a real backlash on that as well. Basically, Wentworth Miller came out and said that, you know, I was going through a very bad time in my life. I was very depressed. Your comments don't make it any easier and it'll work. And it was a real backlash. And they actually took that down and apologised to
him.
But the interesting thing for me about that image, and of course, when he was in Prison Break, Wentworth Miller was quite lean and buff.
Oh, yeah.
But in the after photo, he actually just looked like a normal guy. He
yeah.
To my eye, look.
He wasn't overly.
Not overly overweight.
But. You know,
but even if he was, they still shouldn't be making comments about it.
But are those types of movie stars and held up to a greater standard than we are?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think that's the Hollywood. That's the Hollywood lens, isn't it? Is that you can't be any, you can't be as proportionately big as someone in society is before people really notice.
But we live in a world. My experience, I mean, being older, my experience is that we're now living in a world where there's so much attention paid. There's always been this kind of sense of what you look like for us as gay men, and I don't know so much for the women, but for gay fellas, it's been that way for a long time. What you look like is really important. But what's added to that now is social media. Because in social media, you know, one click of your fingers and you're on air to hundreds of thousands of people. We don't have to be famous. It was once upon a time you had to be famous to get into the media and to be seen by hundreds of thousands of people. Well, now we're all being seen. So it's become a bigger issue. It's much more kind of, you know, in your face.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I mean, I think there is discrimination in the gay community as well, obviously.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can even remember from a partner I had when I first wanted to go to, I was living in Scotland at the time, and they were just starting up the Bears in Glasgow and Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And basically said, oh, let's go along to the Bears night. It's new night. And my partner turned around to me at the time and went, oh, Bears. Oh, no. Gross.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I found this group I think I identify with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that comes out of your mouth is that they're gross.
Yeah. That must have made you feel really awful.
It did. And he wasn't my boyfriend much longer after that, I can tell you. But,
and sounds like a good ditch.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like, that's the sort of discrimination that I think we do face.
Yeah. And people are clumsy. I mean, words can sting and hurt. I mean, you know, you guys know I work in mental health, and what people say is really important. And it does. It marks and scars for life. So, you know, those kinds of things do leave marks.
Absolutely. So tonight we are talking about the belly and the love for the belly. You're on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
For all things bear, cub, otter or wolf and any other woodland creature, The Woods on Joy 94.9.
That's right. You are in The Woods tonight with myself, Robbie, Mark, James and Dean. And we're talking about the belly.
Belly. Gotta love a good belly.
But there's positives to the belly as too, isn't
sexy
there?
Belly.
Well, a lot of people think it's sexy.
Yum,
sexy,
yum.
Yes.
I know my partner will be listening intently at home, and he won't mind me saying he likes the belly.
Exactly. Well, that's good.
I'm hoping so.
You're hoping so.
Your belly or any belly?
Well, any belly. Any but he belly. Likes mine as well. So that
well, my partner's probably not listening in, but he loves a belly too.
There you go. And the older I get, the more and more I meet these people. Many people love the belly.
Well, that's fortunate, because the older you get, the more likely you are to have a belly.
That's right.
Me specifically or people in general?
Well, people, men in general. I mean, they don't call it middle-age spread for nothing, you know.
Mm. Yes, but apparently, Robbie, there's more benefits of having a belly than just looking good.
There sure is. You're going to love this, guys. Science has confirmed it, that men with a bigger belly are better lovers.
Yeah.
And we all know science. If science confirms it, it's definitely true.
It must be true. You get it off the internet, so it must be true.
It is true. I saw it with my own eyes on the internet.
But it's actually a university study.
It is a university study in Turkey. They studied a correlation between the body mass index, the good old BMI that we all know and love.
Which we'll talk about more later.
We will. And male sexual performance. And they found that overweight men with obvious bellies lasted 5 minutes longer in the sack than thinner men.
5 minutes more sex.
Yes, wow. That's
you
right.
You can do a lot in 5 minutes.
So it was like 7 minutes instead of two?
Yeah. Well, actually, you're not far wrong, because men with a higher BMI lasted an average of 7.3 minutes in bed.
Wow.
Who's sitting there with the stopwatch?
Who is sitting someone there? Well, someone in Turkey.
If it was a het study, then if it was a heterosexual study, well, then the women would be, obviously.
But they also said that thinner men are more prone to premature ejaculation. And, you know, I mean, maybe there's some...
None of us want that.
No, maybe there's some benefits of being a little bit...
I like the idea. I mean, having a porky belly, I like the idea that I'm a better lover and I can last a whole 5 minutes longer.
You can, yeah, like I said, you can achieve a lot in 5 minutes. It's all due to a chemical that the belly fat produces. It's a hormone that helps to inhibit orgasm. So
estradiol.
And I was just doing the maths. That means it's 3.3 minutes at normal.
Yeah,
that's so quick.
That's very quick.
Guess who's stopping off to get a stopwatch on the way home?
Oh,
right?
Well, it's like.
I guess what are they measuring? I mean, they must be measuring, you know, moment to climax.
Yeah, what's the start?
Climax.
I mean, yeah, the end is probably okay, but the start. Where do you start?
Surely not the moment you turn the television off. Maybe sometime after that.
Maybe we should have found some more research to substantiate.
Yeah, I think one study's probably a limited. But you know what? If it says the right things, we'll go with
it. It's
that.
A our argument. That's what we're with it.
That's what research is for, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I knew there was a reason that we had those bloody timer things in our phones these days, you know, the stopwatch thing. It's good to know that I've got something to do with that at long last, because I ain't never running.
Exactly.
Excuse me, honey, I just need to start this.
It's actually quite funny. In the study as well, it actually found that men with bellies have more sex as well. Up to 100 times annually.
As opposed to...
Well, it didn't say, unfortunately.
That was annually, you said there.
Yes.
Annually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's like averaging three times a week.
You're doing maths there. So it's longer and it's more often.
It's more often.
More frequent.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So that's why the bears are always horny. Okay.
So eat that's up. Why the underbear party is the way it is.
That kind of killed conversation.
Yeah.
Where do we go with that one?
Look, I think, it's important to note there is a massive community of people who are into bigger guys. So there's whole apps dedicated to it.
There are. There's feeders and gainers societies, and Gromo is a site that has feeders and gainers on it. So that's another site to weight as well.
Well, so help me understand. So what is, as a bear curious individual, what is a gainer and what's a feeder?
Well, a gainer is someone who gains weight.
They can easily gain weight?
Well, not necessarily, but okay. They do, their aim is to gain weight.
To be more attractive?
To be more attractive, yeah. But a feeder is someone who encourages it.
Right.
So it's like there's... it's actually quite big in the States. Chicago is well known for it. I know in Chicago there are clubs dedicated to it, and they have annual events, and it's about eating and gaining weight over a period of time.
Uh-huh.
And the bigger the better is.
It's the opposite of The Biggest Loser, for example.
Yeah, well, exactly. Ah. Well, I actually had a friend who used to record Biggest Loser and watch it in reverse. So
I was looking today on the internet and I saw that, like, we talk about bears, like, we're all, as the woods people, we're very familiar with the bear concept, but the Strays have a similar, they have subcultures as well. BHM,
I have no idea.
Big Handsome Men, or also known as Big Hulking Men, and the other one is BBMs, and the Big and Beautiful Men. There's a couple of subgroups that
more acronyms for us to get our heads around.
I remember when I was younger and sort of getting used to, you know, who I was and who I was attracted to and all that sort of stuff. I remember thinking that you would see it a lot more in a heterosexual couple that women would people, stereotypically attractive women would hook up with bigger guys. Mm. And I remember thinking that just doesn't happen in the gay scene, and that's just not the way that gay people are. But the older you get, the more you see, and I've learned that's not the case. Maybe I was just looking in the wrong place.
So that was back when you were a twink?
Yes. All those years that I was a twink for, James.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's always been the notion of chasers.
Chubs and chasers.
Yep. And, I always say, God loves a chaser, let's face it. Where would we be without them? But, you know.
Of course, there's also people who just don't care. Like, you know, that love a person for who they are, or, you know, personality wins out, or, you know, I can find a skinny person attractive. I can find a chubby person attractive. I can find black, white, golden, yellow, sparkly, all sorts. So it's, you know, it's about a personality thing as well.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you there. It is about personality. But, I mean, I don't think it depends on necessarily their body type. I mean, I do admit, I think that in attractiveness, there may be a limit about how big someone can be.
And vice versa. I mean, there are limits about how slim or trim someone needs to be. And you know, like, lots of people talk about the idea of muscles, you know, that this muscle thing is really, really a big turn on and so on, but it does nothing for me at all. I have to say that's a look that I can admire it, and I can look at people and say, wow, there's a lot of work gone into that body and how determined they are and all that. But it does nothing for me in terms of wanting to date them or end up closer to them.
One thing that really strikes me is that you talk about the muscle-bound focus. Mm. I wonder, in the gay community, do you think that the fuller figured gent is celebrated, or do we more typically celebrate the lean and the muscle?
I think typically we do. I think we, you know, have a look in any of the media, any of the gay kind of, you know, adverts, advertising, promotional things. You very rarely see big fellas. You will see a lot of slim, trim people, and you'll see muscles, but you rarely see us big bodies.
And look, the bear community did have a bit of a backlash to that just a couple of years ago. American Bear magazine went from ordinary bears to almost entirely muscle bears.
Yep.
And again, like, social groups started using muscle bears on their posters, and there was a considerable backlash to that. We're to the point that, like, for example, Vic Bears made it a policy that they use ordinary looking people in their advertising.
Yep.
And club members and stuff like that. And I actually remember that it was the year that I was on the poster for Mr. Australasian Bear, because it was like, I got called at the last minute. It's like, we need an ordinary looking bear. And I was like, oh, thanks.
You know,
like,
I'm your guy.
I'm your guy. I'm the ordinary looking bear. So, atypical bear.
Right. You mean you need a real bear?
You need a real bear.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't think we should say that muscle bears aren't real bears, but there was a huge backlash at one point from the community. And, you know, that was a very real. I mean, the bear community was about being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's meant to be,
You can be a muscle bear. I don't mind that. I think muscle bears are great because I think they look good and et cetera.
Yep.
But it was about being true to yourself, and the clubs had to represent the community.
Yeah. I think there's also that hyper-masculinity of the muscle bear.
Yes.
But not all guys can aspire to. It's actually not within the reach of all of us. Some of our genetic makeups just don't support that.
And not all guys find it attractive. You know, we're not all turned on by muscles, and we're not all turned on by, thank God, we're not all turned on by the same look.
So, and speaking of looks, so even in the modelling world, In the heterosexual modelling world and the gay modelling world, we rarely see fuller figured male models, but that's about to change.
Well, apparently, with there's a lovely gentleman.
Lovely.
Now, what was he called?
Hi, Zach, if you're listening. Zach Myko is his name.
Zach Myko.
I've written it down.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lord.
Zach. He is a very tall, 6 foot six gentleman.
Six foot six.
That's but, taller than you, Mike.
I know. he's called a bigger size model because he's got a 42-inch waist. Now, I don't consider a 42-inch waist huge at all.
No, I don't know what 42-inch waist would... Is that... How many centimetres is that?
I'm not too sure.
No idea.
But it's not huge. He's a bigger-looking man, and he got... Basically, he got hired to do a Target magazine in the States, and from that, International Model Agency actually picked him up, and they're calling it the brawn size models.
Right.
So it used to be husky.
This is like euphemisms for the larger chap.
Yes.
Like brawn and husky.
Yeah. So apparently in the model industry it's now brawn, which is the big size man.
106 centimetres for those screaming at their radio. 106 centimetres
well,
is 42 inches.
That's pretty big. That's a decent size. I'm not that big, so he's bigger than me.
Yeah, but for 6 foot six as well.
Yeah true.
He's very
true.
Well proportioned.
That's right.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at him in the... obviously, because he's an international model on the scene, he's very well groomed and everything. But if you look at him back when he did his Target ad, he had a belly. Mm. You know, you could see it in the T-shirts and stuff like that. And he looked like an ordinary guy, which is great. But it's not. But you know, one doesn't mean a village. You know, person is not good enough.
No, I agree. And it's kind of like, I don't know if you guys remember Rachel Hunter, the Kiwi model.
Yeah,
married to Rod Stewart.
Yeah, and when she hit the modelling scene, she was really famous, and she was really famous because she refused to slim down.
Won't happen overnight, but it will happen.
Well, it's kind of taken. Oh, God knows how long has she been around? I mean, she must be in her 40s or something right now.
Yes.
And it's taken that long for the modelling world to
Didn't she go out with Rod Stewart or something?
She married him.
Oh, God.
She was wife number 4, maybe, I think, or 5.
I've lost count.
But the point being that she was she became famous because she was a plump. You know, she refused to get slim. And she's a very beautiful woman, and she wore clothes like, you know, everything was just so good.
Absolutely. So you're listening to The Woods. It's all about the belly, and it's all about the bass on Joy 94.9.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, bass.
And if I can make it to the middle of this tightrope.
Hey, this is Matt Albert from San Francisco.
Well, then you can find a way to make it out here too.
On Joy 94.9.
And if I can make it to the middle of this tightrope.
And that's a man with a very nice belly indeed, Matt Alba. You're in the woods with Mark, Robbie, James and Dean tonight. We're talking about the belly, and is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
And we can't help, I mean, because we're in the interest of both sides of any point that we make, we can't help being a bit body positive and thinking about some of the risks and the things that are involved. We're not interested in blaming, we're not judging, we think that, you know, as long as people are happy, that's most important. But there are some things that we should bear in mind. Pardon the pun. So world obesity has more than doubled since 1980. Did you guys know that?
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yep.
Since 1980?
Since 1980.
That's
world
pretty
obesity
amazing.
We all know in the news there's talk about the sugar tax. You know, the UK have introduced a sugar tax and they're talking about doing it here.
So you pay more for foods that are high in sugar?
High in sugar. Things like Coca-Cola. You know, the sweet sugary drinks are going to be a much higher tax. They'll be more expensive.
Yeah, and they're only talking about soft drinks at the moment. Uh-huh. They're not talking about anything else.
So the idea is that people might be dissuaded from drinking sugary drinks
because
they're going to pay more for it. Interesting argument.
That's the idea. Aussie and New Zealand have had by far the biggest increase. In the last 33 years, the body fat ratio has a staggering 80% more than over 200 other countries, Aussie and New Zealand.
That's surprising, isn't it? Because a lot of people would think that America was leading the obesity crisis.
No, Australia's overtaken America in the obesity crisis. And an amazing 42 million children under the age of 5 were overweight.
Wow.
That's a lot of kids that are overweight. Most of the world's population live in countries where being overweight or being obese kills you more so than being underweight. It's a fact. The statistics show that that's a given.
So it's not starvation. It's actually overeating.
Yep, wow. That's a bigger risk. And when you are overweight, I mean, we've got to remember that, you know, any extra pounds we carry put us more at risk for things like coronary heart disease, plaque building up in your coronary arteries, high blood pressure, stroke, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, which is a group of symptoms, and the most common symptom of that is the large waistline, you know, the shape of the apple.
Yeah.
Osteoarthritis, bone problems, sleep apnea, hyperventilation syndrome, which is not breathing enough, gallstones, and sexual problems as well. But then having heard what Robbie was telling us before, maybe that's not so sure.
But just funny about the sleep apnea, because I went camping at Kennet River with the bears recently.
Yep.
And of course there were the PowerPoints and the extension leads to all the tents.
Yeah.
So everyone could plug in their sleep apnea machines. I thought that was great. Yeah.
CPAP machines.
Yeah.
It's a problem. I mean, the reality is it's great and it's sexy and we all, you know, we all love the bigger man, but we've just got to be mindful that there's a cost in that. We were talking about BMI earlier, and BMI is kind of, it's in some circles, it's not considered such a great indicator anymore. It's still a useful quick check, but more importantly is your waistline. How big is your waistline compared with your weight? And also your waist to height ratio. And I was thinking about the guy we were talking about before, Zach.
Zach Micah.
Because he's tall, he can actually be a lot heavier and have a larger waistline, because that's more important. If you're short and very heavy, you're much more at risk of health problems.
Why did you look at me when you said that, James?
actually, I was looking at you and Dean. I'm a bit cross-eyed.
I think it's important to note that, and I think that if I had been hearing some of those earlier statistics at home, I would probably be screaming that at my radio and thinking, these statistics are based on BMI. So when we talk about 45 million children who are overweight or obese, now, that overweight category in the BMI is massive.
It is, but remember I said overweight, not and obese. Obesity is defined by your BMI, but overweight is the weight, you know, the height to weight ratio. So you're right. I mean, again, it's still a staggering amount of small children,
yes,
you know, that are getting the wrong kinds of food.
But I wonder, can you be overweight and have low blood pressure or normal blood pressure? Can you be overweight and absolutely have good cholesterol? Yes. Can you be overweight and actually be healthy?
Yeah, you can. You don't get all of those things, but it's just the things that you've got to be mindful of. Some overweight people, I mean, I've got friends who can run rings around me, like big guys who are a lot heavier than me, run rings around me. They're much, much healthier. But it's just that, you know, over the years, you just have to be mindful of what could happen.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I'll be the first to put up my hand saying, I've got high blood pressure, I've got diabetes. It's like, I know what it's like to
tick, tick, tick.
I just worked out my body mass index, by the way, and it does say I'm obese.
Yeah.
It's good for the
41.6. Apparently, if you're over 30, you're obese.
And the reality is, if you look at the weight to height ratios, if you look at the weight that are in those to get you to a reasonable BMI, I'd look like a real skeleton. I mean, it would not feel good. Mm. Well, I've probably never been that way, but, you know, I don't think it would feel good.
Well, it tells me I should lose between 62.2 and 86.09 kilograms.
Yep. Right.
And so can you imagine what?
Yeah, imagine I can't imagine losing like that amount of weight.
No, and that's why the BMI is still useful, and we're not in any way suggesting that it's not a useful thing anymore. But it's a useful quick check. It's not the only thing that you should take in mind. And again, you know, when we're talking health, we always bear in mind that if you've got any concerns or if you've got any worries, you should always check with your doctor or your GP or a health professional.
And of course, like, there is a mental health element to this as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Some people can get quite fixated on their physical appearance.
They can indeed, and that leads to something we know as body dysmorphic disorder. And when someone has a persistent, this is when someone has a persistent and intrusive preoccupation with a part of their body, and typically the places that people get kind of obsessed about are the skin, the nose, the chest, and the stomach, or their stomach.
And it's like when I was talking about gainers before, that's a perfect example of body dysmorphia, really.
Absolutely. Yep.
Because they become obsessed with it.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And too, I mean, I've worked in eating disorders, and you've got to remember, you know, when young women or when young people with anorexia are looking in the mirror, they don't see what the rest of us see. And this is how, you know, this is how powerful this kind of damage can be.
Just on anorexia, I was quite surprised to read recently that, and as you said, you corrected yourself, but you did say young women, and people tend to think about anorexia being a young woman's disease. But actually, a lot of young men also, or a lot of men,
more
young
more,
or old,
yep.
more and more actually do suffer from the anorexias nervosa and bulimia and other eating disorders.
Statistically, it's proving to be, it's increasing in numbers in young men in kind of youth age. There are significantly less, in fact, I honestly don't know of any myself, but there are less numbers of more mature men. But the body dysmorphia stuff, it kind of makes people do things like the camouflage of their body part. It's one of the anxiety disorders, and it comes up a little bit OCD, a little bit obsessive compulsive. Camouflaging body parts, comparing body parts with others, getting surgery, like to have things change that may or may not have a problem.
Actually, I watched a show on television recently where they had people who had gone too far with their surgeries and were having implants and I guess like the mayor, the former mayor of Geelong, current mayor of Geelong, having the...
That's getting
was about
kicked
to be
out,
sacked.
About sacked.
But I know
tonight.
That he had abs inserted in his...
Yes, he did.
Abs.
he got plastic surgery to have a six-pack on top of his belly. Which is
actually on top of, because you guys know this, don't you? We all have a six-pack.
Yes.
So he's had, his six-pack has gone on top of his belly, which is actually on top
of
his six-pack.
Exactly.
So now he's got a 12-pack.
Almost got a case.
So I guess that, you know, what we're saying, and I guess the message is, if you're happy and things are good, if life is good, you know, we don't have, but there's no reason for you to be concerned, you know, go on doing what you're doing. But go on, Mike.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things I'd be interested is to get your guys' opinion on is, do you feel that the bear community has the opposite effect and basically encourages guys to gain weight and to be accepted? And is that, do you think that's a thing in the bear community?
I don't know that they actively, I don't think the bear community actively encourages people to gain weight, but yes, there's a certain, for someone that came into the bear community recently, I've taken a lot of pressure off myself to lose weight because I now feel comfortable around a bunch of people that look similar to me and that find me attractive and I find them attractive. So, yeah, it eases the pressure. So in a roundabout way, I think belonging to a community of men that look the same as you do stops you from striving to change the way you look.
Yeah. I'd go along with that too. I think the thing I got out of connecting with the bear community is a comfort. You know, like I used to hate that I couldn't get into size 30 pants, and I used to hate that, you know, my guts hung over the top of my trousers for years. Now I could care less, and that's in part, that's because, I mean, the loveliest part about being in the bear community is the idea, it may or may not always be true, but the idea that everybody's welcome, and the idea that, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like, it doesn't matter whether you wear, you know, Dolce & Gabbana clothes or Gazman or Target or Kmart, it's irrelevant, you are welcome, and I think that's one of the biggies.
And I think that's lovely if you're arrive fuller and comfortable in your own skin.
Yep.
But is there a fetish around the larger chap, and do some guys actually gain to get that acceptance because they're not comfortable? Like for me, I've always been on the thinner side, high metabolism. As I've gotten older, I'm now starting to get the middle age spread.
Right.
But
the apple shape.
The apple shape. Thanks.
More a pair. But
you're welcome. That'll be $50, thanks.
But I wonder, if I wasn't as confident and comfortable in myself, would I want to overeat to get obese to make myself more attractive.
Well, that's where I was going with that question. And I think that it does, to an extent, I think it does happen.
I think so. But I think, I mean, the idea of that is around maybe someone being a bit fragile and a bit vulnerable and not in a great space. And that's going to happen wherever you are. You know, whether you go, whether you belong to twinks, whether you're a muscle, everybody compares themselves with everybody else. That's a normal kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when you, if you are vulnerable, if there are, you know, some disturbances in your mental health, yeah, those kind of things can lead to bad decisions.
You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
Catch up or relive all The Woods has to offer. Listen to The Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
And that brings us to the end of another Woods for this week.
Not quite.
I'm James, and we're on air with Dean and Mark and Robbie.
And we're talking about the belly.
We're talking about the big bellies.
Belly. And we're talking about the fat shaming and a few other things. Now, one of the things that I found, especially with some apps, that fat shaming is definitely a thing. I mean,
what, words with
that,
friends,
huh?
Words with friends,
yeah. Words with friends,
Candy Crush,
yeah. Then Candy Crush.
That
no,
Candy
no.
Crush.
I'm talking about dating apps.
Oh,
or cruise apps.
Oh,
Angry Birds. No,
yeah, no. That's a different type of a dating app. But the whole no fat, no femmes.
Right.
What is that about?
Oh, I tell you, that is just so wrong.
Mm.
But, I mean, the thing about that, I mean, when the famous one came out, the big one, app that I'm talking about,
right.
Not anything else, it was like everyone went on it, but then it was very obvious that other apps started to pop up, like Scruff and Growler and Bigger City and stuff like that, where we could go and not be shamed. And I don't even use the other one now.
Why do you think that happened, Mike? What do you think was, like, because I was on the big one, the first one, the original starter.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't remember anybody ever making any contact with me or anything.
Well, it's not the contact. It's the, if you're looking at people's profiles, it was quite prominent in quite a lot of people's profiles.
Yeah.
No fats, no femmes. That's the sort of really degenerated talk that was on those apps.
And it's kind of in keeping with that whole, you know, like straight acting, you know, there's all those kinds of judgmental,
well, internalized homophobia.
Yeah, that's right.
It's interesting. There's a recent study done in the psychology of sexual orientation and gender diversity. That would be a fun read. But the research surveyed users of those apps, and one in particular, and one third of gay men they surveyed reported that they had experienced an anti-fat bias, even though they weren't necessarily classified as overweight according to BMI. And that those forms of discrimination are actually very, very common.
Yeah.
So imagine the people that are on there that are the BMI, with the bigger BMI, the discrimination that those people would have on those apps. I mean, if you're getting people that aren't even meant to be obese or overweight, the people, well, us that do in the bear community and other communities, the discrimination was, I mean, I remember it. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, I remember it too. And it's also, I mean, it comes up with, you've also got the age thing. You know, age is another way that we discriminate against people. Like in the gay world, you know, like you hit 30 and you're kind of old, and you hit 40 and you're kind of...
Not in the bear world, though.
Well, it kind of is to some extent. But then there's this kind of, in your 50s and 60s, you get a rekindle and it all starts up again. So.
Hello, Daddy.
And Granddaddy. I mean, you know, let's face it. But I where's it going to end? I mean, I find this whole app thing really, really fascinating. It's like the changes, if you think about how long it took us to get to the first one.
Yep.
And then suddenly, like, it was there for a year or so, and then suddenly overnight, bang, 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 all these others popped up. And what's next?
I think things happen quicker now, but it's interesting that those apps popped up in much the same way that
sub-communities did in gay culture. That, you know, that in the same way, it took a lot longer back then, but everything's happening quickly, and especially, you know, with everyone being online and social media, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah,
these subsections opened up in on the apps in much the same way that separate gay clubs opened for separate communities.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think the internet in general did open up the world of sexuality for a lot of people, because you could finally find, you know, what you were into on the internet.
From the comfort of your own lounge.
Exactly. And there's everything on the internet, let's face it.
And the reality is that we're not faced with that personalised face-to-face rejection anymore. Like, if being chubby, if being overweight, if being hairless, if being any of those kind of discriminatory categories, if that's not your thing, then, you know, you just get no response, or you get, hopefully, you get a polite thanks, but no thanks. So you're not being faced with that whole face-to-face, get out of my space.
But in the face-to-face world or the offline world, if that wasn't your thing, you could be avoidant or you could be politely decline.
Mm.
What I hear and what I see in some of this research is that in the online world, people don't just gracefully decline. They actually are quite aggressive and attack and are quite hurtful in some of their comments.
Yeah.
I mean, and what is that about?
The number of times I've seen friend posted on Facebook and stuff about the way they were treated on these apps, I mean, you see it all the time.
Mm.
I mean, people are quite, because there's no face-to-face contact and it's not like a real person in a sense, it's like the attacks can be quite malicious and, you know, and potentially damaging to people.
Yeah, I guess that is one of the downsides of the whole kind of social media, and it's not just us. The whole bullying concept, you know, cyberbullying and all of that is becoming humongous. It's affecting a lot of young people. But I'm also thinking of, you know, while we're doing a comparison of the real world to the apps, there are a lot of people who would never have had the confidence to go out and to go into... I mean, I remember my first time walking into a gay bar, I was terrified. And I know there's a lot of people coming through in the rural parts where they've got no gay bars. The apps are a lifesaver. They really, really do. They connect them and they get people talking to each other.
Which is a positive. So it's such a complex issue, isn't it?
It is. It's really complex.
You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9.
You're in The Woods tonight with Big Bear Mark, experience Cub Robbie.
Been promoted.
Yes, Just James and Curious Dean.
Very
Bear.
Curious.
Curious Bear. We've got to wrap it up, guys, but very interesting discussion tonight. Thank you very much.
If anything has triggered anybody in any way in a negative way, don't hesitate to get in touch with your GP or your health professional, or even call Lifeline if you need to.
Absolutely. You might want to catch up on a podcast of this show, or in fact catch up on past shows. They're all there on the website.
They're going up every few days at the moment.
A big thank you to James, who has podcasted over 100 of The Woods shows for us.
Wow.
Thank you very much, James, if you're listening.
But you can catch up on those on The Woods on joy.org.au/The Woods. You catch up on the live.
And I have to say thank you to Robbie for taking it over as well.
Absolutely.
Yay.
Saturday night, Eurovision
this Saturday night with myself, Michael, and the Bretts. We're talking about the first semi-final, the first half of the first semi-final. It should be some interesting songs in there.
And James and I are going to be at the Joyful Trivia Night
at
Collingwood Town Hall.
We'll be wearing our halos.
We will, because we're the Spirit Bears. We're joining forces with the Spirit Lounge. We are the team to beat.
So if you see
good luck, guys. I hope you bring it home for us.
If you see flashing halos, come and say hi.
Absolutely. Now, Brekkie Bears,
Monday morning, 6:30 to 9 o'clock. Join myself, Luke, and of course Robbie, because he's in there with Barely Believable.
Where will we go this week?
Do you do that? Do you do that bit nude? Are you bare, as in barely with no clothes on?
Yeah, he comes in naked.
I'm naked right now, aren't I?
Yeah. Well.
Well, then that explains a lot of things, Robbie. That explains a lot of things.
Coming up next is the team from School of Pop, of course.
Absolutely, get schooled in pop.
The other thing I just want to say, please follow us on Facebook if you want.
Please.
Yeah, please. The Woods at Joy 94.9. Or you can also follow us on Twitter as well. The Woods at Joy.
We're so social media savvy, aren't we?
Don't forget the Diversity Expo as well is on this weekend, and Joy's there. Come and say hello.
And if you do want to see what some of us look like, You can go to the Bent TV website and look for the Bear Cave.
Yay.
There's been episodes on there lately with Robbie and James and myself, of course. Dean's yet to come on, I think.
No, I'm a bit shy.
But we'll get you on there eventually.
But you have been listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. Until next week.
Woof-a-fur.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.